You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Genesis chapter 45, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me," and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph, doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and he pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I do thank you for salvation. I thank you, God, for the Christian life that you've allowed me to have and my family. I thank you for this church, the ministry of our pastor, the blessings that you've given upon him. And I thank you for the people of God here in this church. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's true. I thank you that it's reliable. I thank you that it's powerful. I thank you, God, for who you are and what you are. And I pray, dear God, that tonight we would love you more, would draw nigh to you. I ask for your help. Lord, you know that without you, I can do nothing. And I pray, Father, for the Holy Spirit's power tonight. I ask, God, that I lift you up, magnify you, is my prayer. And, Father, I pray that it will be a help, dear God, to the people here tonight. We love you. Thank you for being so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. And I think Pastor said that the story of Joseph is your favorite Old Testament story, and Nehemiah is your favorite book in the Old Testament. And I would say that the more I learned about Joseph, the life of Joseph, the more I admired him. By the way, first let me say this by way of introduction. I jotted some notes down. We're going through Sunday school, the attributes of God, and it'll tie into the message tonight. And we're looking at the attributes of God and what he is. And I think even Christians are in danger of lowering God to the point that God is somewhat almost on trial before us. I'm not here to defend God. I'm not going to presume to defend God. He doesn't need my defense. But I'd like to remind us about who God is and what he is, first of all. We talked about the attributes of God. First of all, we saw the power of God. And God showed his power in creation. God created everything out of nothing. In fact, the Bible says that all power belongs to God. There's nothing in the universe, nothing in this world that is more powerful than God. Whoever says he has power or she has power, that power comes from God alone, because he is the source of power. We saw that in creation. We saw that in the virgin birth of Christ. A woman, a virgin, conceived a male child. And the Bible says the mighty power of God came upon Mary. You see, we see that in the virgin birth of Christ. We see that in the miracles of Christ. The people that saw Jesus looked at him and say, you know what? What is this mighty power that we see right now? We see the mighty power of God in what Jesus did here on earth. You see, the power of God, what does that mean? God can and will do anything he wants. I don't have to defend God. He doesn't need my defense, but God can and will do whatever he wants. You see, God has all power. I think sometimes we lower God down to we forget that he has all power. You can take all the kings and all the leaders of the world, and they'll not compare. They'll pair in comparison to God Almighty, who has all power. God has all power. And we saw also that God is good. You see, power in the hands of a bad person destroys. But God is good. In fact, you cannot separate good from God. You want to know what good is? It's who God is. And you know what God is? It's what good is. You see, our definition of good does not come from us. Our definition of good comes from God, who is good. There's nothing bad about God. You see, so God has all power. There's no weakness with God. All power belongs to God. He is the source of all power. And in that power, God is good. And then we saw this morning that God is wise. Wisdom comes from knowledge and understanding applied. When you have knowledge and understanding and you apply it the right way, that's wisdom. And I told my class this morning, did you know that there's nothing God doesn't know? There's nothing God doesn't know. The knowledge of God is eternal. We'll never know what God knows for all eternity. It's eternal. It's infinite. His understanding, the Bible says, is infinite. Now, here's the comfort in that. God, who has all power, can do and will do whatever he wants. Nobody's going to stop him. If it's his will, he will do it. And there's no power that can stop him from doing what he wants. But whatever it is that God wants to do, you can be certain of this. It will be good. It will be good. You're never going to point your hand, finger at God and say, God, that was not good. No, sir. Because whatever God is, that is what's good. You see? And thirdly, whatever that is, it's always the best thing that can ever be done. Because he is all wise. You see, he has knowledge and understanding beyond our comprehension. You see, what we do is we put God down to our level and say, God, you're not fair. You know what you're saying? God, I have more understanding of the situation than you do. May I tell you one thing? We do not. We do not. That's why I think even Christians, we're lowering God down and we're talking to God as if he's mere human like us. But don't realize, though God is very much approachable, he came to us, the Bible says. Though God is very much approachable, don't ever forget, he has all power. And he is good. and He is all wise. That's why we can never point our finger to God and say, God, you're not right and you're not fair. In this story in Genesis 45, you never hear of Joseph ever complaining about his situation. The closest he got actually when he asked the butler, he says, you know what, when you go back to Pharaoh, why don't you let him know about my situation and so he can set me free, because I'm here innocently. I mean, I don't deserve to be here. But other than that time, we don't read about Joseph complaining. No, just think about his situation. He was sold as a slave. He was falsely accused and sentenced to prison. And these events happened when he was young. He could have said, you know what? How dare my brothers deprive me of the days of my youth? But he never did that. And I admire him tremendously because of that. I'm sure there were days when he was down, but no one ever knew when he was down. I admire him for his attitude. When people today complain of things much less than Joseph endured, guess what? I give my respect to Joseph. You see, it was his attitude that allowed him to forgive the way he did. To forgive the way he did. There may be some in this room who've never been able to forgive someone because of what that person has done to you. My prayer is that the example of Joseph may help us get rid of anger and bitterness that we have been holding on to for so long. And I also hope that this message draws us closer to God. And I also hope that this message lifts up God in your hearts and not put Him down as if He is on trial. God should never be on trial. Not from us. God should never be on trial. In chapter 44, Joseph's brothers finally came to the place of repentance, and now Joseph forgives them. And what is forgiveness? Let me give you this definition. To forgive means to release or set free. It means to cancel a debt. It is a conscious decision on the part of the offended person to release the offender from the guilt of the offense. Get that first. It says a conscious decision on the part of the offended person to release the offender from the guilt of the offense. Forgiveness also releases the offended person from anger and bitterness. You see, forgiveness is not only good for the one that caused the harm, it's also good for the one that received the harm. You see, as I mentioned, some live with anger and bitterness because we've not learned to forgive God's way. Forgiveness is not seeking revenge or retaliation for the offense. By the way, forgiveness is not free. It will cost someone something if it's true forgiveness. But you know who pays? It's the offended one. That's what forgiveness is. Some of you are turning me off already. You say, I can't do that. There's a problem there. But let me show you why that is. Forgiveness is not free. It will cost someone something. But who pays? The one doing the forgiving. Let's say you buy a car from a friend. You ask a friend for a loan to buy a car. And after a while, you can't make the payments anymore. And say, you know what? I can't really pay the rest of the balance there. Can you just forgive me of the loan? And this guy is a nice guy and says, okay, I'll forgive you the loan. What happened? The borrower no longer has to pay the rest of the debt, but it still got paid. But who paid it? The lender paid it. The one who lent us the money. By the way, that is how it is with salvation. We must have forgiveness from God if we're ever going to go to heaven. All sin is against God, by the way. All sin ultimately is against God. It is God who must forgive. Mark chapter 2, verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? By the way, that is a true statement. Only God can forgive sin. God must be the one who ultimately forgive. Forgiveness says that the offended pays the price for the offense. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why did Jesus die for us? because the wages of sin is death. That's why it's impossible to be forgiven by good works, because the one who forgives must pay the price. If we're offering our good works, if sin has a price, that's death, separation from God, this price must be paid for by the offended and not the offender. That's why Jesus had to die. So if we want forgiveness from God, we must accept it on the basis of God's payment, not ours. Not ours. Forgiveness is never earned. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Forgiveness is offered, but it's never earned. There's no works to pay for forgiveness, because the one that forgives must pay. Forgiveness is not saying, I'm going to make you pay. Forgiveness is taking the hurt, the penalty, the pain of the offender. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. And that was the example of Joseph with his brothers. Joseph did not say, I'll forgive you, but you know what? You got to go to jail first. Let me give you several statements about forgiveness and we'll be done. We should be quick to forgive. We should be quick to forgive. Joseph's brothers in chapter 45 experienced forgiveness from Joseph. But Joseph already forgave them long before chapter 45. How do we know that? We know that because not one time do we see him being vengeful. We don't read anywhere where Joseph was waiting to get even. We don't read in the jailhouse is saying, you know what, just wait until I get out. Just wait, I'm going to get even with my brothers. You never hear that from Joseph. He never wanted revenge. When Jacob deceived Isaac and stole the blessing from Esau, we saw Esau's reaction. The Bible says that Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And guess what? He wanted to kill his brother, Jacob. I don't know how long Esau held a grudge, but apparently after 20 years, that was long enough. He finally no longer hated Jacob when they were reunited. But Joseph was different. There was nothing recorded. In fact, God said this about Joseph during the time when he could have been bitter and angry. When he was in the palace as a slave, Genesis 39 verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Genesis 39, verse 21, when he was in the prison, falsely accused. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. In the palace as a slave and in the prison, the Lord was with Joseph. I don't believe that statement could have been made had Joseph been angry and bitter and vengeful. The Lord was with Joseph. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, God says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. If he had bitterness and wrath, he would have grieved God back then. But God says, and the Lord was with Joseph in the palace as a slave, in the prison falsely accused, and the Lord was with Joseph. You see, he offered publicly forgiveness in Genesis 45, but he already forgave long before that. He already forgave his brothers. Forgive quickly. Be quick to forgive. Secondly, forgive privately. Genesis chapter 45, verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. As far as we know, Joseph never told Pharaoh what his brothers did to him. I can't read what Joseph said, this is what my brothers did. He never said that. In fact, he said to the Egyptians, can you please go out? I don't want you to hear this. And he made it right with his brothers. He says, let every man go from me. You know, Pharaoh liked Joseph. I mean, Joseph interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh. Pharaoh lifted him up to second in command. He liked Joseph. Imagine what he might have done. He found out, you know, what? Your brothers did that to you? Kill them all! By the way, he could have done that. But Joseph never told Pharaoh. He didn't need to know. You see, there's a lesson there. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. If something is forgiven, there's no need to broadcast it all over the social network. It doesn't mean we cover up sin. But not everybody needs to know what I feel sorry for you. You hear something bad and you Facebook it all right away. You tweet it right away. I mean, good night. You just hear something bad and everybody knows about it. You know, what are you doing? What are you doing? You see, again, we're not covering sin, but not everybody needs to know, just the ones involved. But when we broadcast it all over the internet, then everyone knows, even the ones that don't need to know. If they're not part of the solution, they don't need to know. If they cannot help the problem, they do not need to know. You see, Joseph says, let every man away from me. Pharaoh does not need this. The Egyptians does not need to know this. It's between me and my brothers. They forgave him privately. You know, many times people want to know the dirt, not because they want to help. They just want to know the dirt. That's what it is. So, you know, I want to know so that I can pray for you. Who are you kidding? No, you don't. You're not going to pray for me. You're not going to pray for that person. You're a liar. Hey, man. You just want to know the dirt so you can be the first one to post it. So you can have all the likes as you can get. As many views or whatever it is. I mean, there's something about people knowing everything. I'm old enough to have come from a generation that if it's in the family, it stays in the family. Yeah. Our neighbors didn't need to know. You see, your neighbors don't need to know. Your friends, your so-called friends don't need to know. They're not your friends. You guys don't believe that. See how quiet that is? You think you have 5,000 friends. You don't! They just want to know the dirt. Hey, man. They're your dirt friends. That's a new term. You want to be my dirt friend? Let me tell you the dirt. I remember knocking on door, and this one lady, I mean, this was when Facebook was just getting popular. I mean, she was all excited. I have 400 friends. I wanted to say, no, you don't. You don't. They just want to know what's going on. You don't have friends, amen? I'm sorry. I didn't say that to her, though, but, you know, I thought it. I said, you don't have friends. And some of you, in fact, many of you don't have friends. Please. Not those kinds anyway. Amen? They're just there for the dirt. So forgive quickly. Forgive privately. Proverbs 17:9, he that covereth transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth matters separateth red friends. And God says, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. That's how it should start. You have a problem, you go to that person. You don't go around all your friends and say, you know what, look what this person did. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's not the way to do it. We should be quick to forgive. We should forgive privately. We should forgive freely. No conditions. Remember, forgiveness means that the offended takes the loss and pain caused by the offender. Forgiveness does not mean that everything is back to normal. Sometimes you can't get it back to normal, but it's free. It's freely given, freely offered. Why? You're taking the loss. It's not from him. It's from you who is offended. He said, there may be consequences as a result of offenses, but forgiveness is still given freely. I know a person that got saved from a life of sin and lived for God. Salvation was freely given to him, but guess what? When he died because of how he lived. The consequences were still there, but he was freely forgiven. You see, sometimes you can't help that. And let me say next, forgive permanently. Please turn to Genesis 50, chapter 50. And I'll start reading verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before me, before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto him, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Joseph's brothers thought, you know what, our father is dead, now Joseph will get his revenge. But there was no revenge coming, because Joseph forgave God's way. Amen. Jeremiah 31:34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So when we're always bringing up the wrongs that people have done in the past, it's an evidence that we've never forgiven. You see, we're human. There's some things we'll just never forget. But you don't have to bring it up. To remember is to bring to mind. And God says, I will remember their sin no more. When we purposely bring it back up again, we have not forgiven. Biblical forgiveness is to forget, or at least never bring it back again. Forgive quickly, forgive privately, forgive freely, forgive permanently, forgive restoratively. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. To restore is the idea of forgiving to help get you back. The goal of forgiveness is to help the offender get back on track. By the way, the flesh doesn't want to do that. The flesh wants to get even. But God says if we're children of God, we should not live by the flesh. The person may need to go to jail. He or she may need to pay for the wrong committed. But if a person truly repents, don't be the one to kick him down. We're supposed to restore one another. By the way, that's why you forgive privately. Because if you do it publicly and broadcast it, it makes it harder for the offended to get back on his feet or her feet. Because now everybody knows. Now everybody that's not even part of the problem knows. And it's hard for them to try to get back because they're thinking, oh, I wonder what those people are thinking. That's why you forgive privately. If they're not part of the solution, they don't need to know. Amen, Brother Poulsen. That's good preaching. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Come on now, Brother Poulsen. Preach that. That's good. Biblical forgiveness is not natural. But Joseph was able to forgive God's way. How was that? Because of his faith in God. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? I mean, is there any way I could have controlled this? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring evil to pass, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. You know what Joseph was saying? In God's sovereign will, he allowed those things to happen. In your mind, you thought you were doing me bad. But because God has all power, and because God is all good, and because God is all wise, he was working things out for my good, and he knew the best thing for me. And that's what it was. It says, you meant it for good, but meant it for bad, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. You may have thought to do bad, but God knew better. He allowed a whole nation to be saved from death. Surely Joseph could not have pictured why God was allowing what happened to him. I don't think he was in the palace as a slave saying, you know what, I know what God's going to do. You know, I'm going to be second in command one of these days. God did not know, Joseph did not know that. And then when he went to the prison, I think he went down, you know, man, wow, this is really getting bad. I don't think he figured out, okay, what's going to happen is Pharaoh's going to dream, and I'm going to know how to interpret his dream, and I'm going to be second in command. Joseph never knew that. Until he was promoted to second in command. He never knew any of those things. But God did. God, in his power, directed the steps. And God, in his goodness, allowed things happen for the good of Joseph and the good of his people. And it was the best plan that could have ever been made, because God understands. Amen. God has complete and perfect knowledge and understanding. And because of that, he always does what is wise. You see, God never allows anything to take place without a purpose. You know, it may seem flippant to tell you that regardless of what happened in your life, God is still in control. But may I say this? That is the truth. God is in control. Because no one will ever thwart the plan of God. No one's more powerful than God. And by the way, you say, God, that's not fair. That's not true. Because goodness and God are the same. So whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you've gone through, it's all good. And it's the best. Because God has knowledge and understanding that cannot be comprehended. And when he takes that knowledge and understanding and formulates a plan for our lives, it is the best plan in our lives. That's why you can trust the Word of God. God has all knowledge and understanding from eternity to eternity. And he says, you know what? Because I know everything, because I understand everything, let me show you how to live. Right here is the wisdom of God. That's why you can depend on this. Why? It's backed by God's knowledge and understanding of all things. And we get in trouble when we think, you know what? God, we have a better plan for marriage. Really? God, we have a better plan for this situation. And God, we have a better plan for this. God, we have a better plan. Really? Do you know more than God? Do you understand more than God? So if you don't know more than God, you don't understand more than God, why don't we just trust God that he actually knows what he's talking about? Hey, man, I'm not defending God. God does not need my defense. But I think sometimes we lower God down and put God down on a trial. God should never be put down at a trial. God should be lifted up high and mighty. Hey, man, God is all powerful. And God is always good. No matter what you think, God is always good. And whatever he does, is always the wisest thing that can ever be done, because he knows everything, he understands everything, and from that knowledge and understanding, he has given us his wisdom. It's time we stop questioning God and say, God, is that really what's best? Of course it is. It's in the Bible. And who put it there? God did. And who is God? God who knows everything and God who understands everything. Yes, it is the best. And say, God, why did you allow that to happen in my life? I may not understand, but God understands. I may not know the reason why, but God knows. And it happened because God willed it to happen. You see, as Brother Cooper mentioned, it's how you act. It's how you behave in those valleys that determines. In those valleys, why don't we just believe God? Why don't we just believe God? Stop putting God on trial. God does not need to stand before you and defend himself. He doesn't have to stand before me and defend himself. He's God. He has all power. He is always good. He has all wisdom. Why don't we just lift God up? Stop complaining. And stop being bitter and angry. And why don't we learn to forgive God's way? By the example of Joseph. You know, that bitterness you carry, it will destroy you someday. It will. That anger you carry, it will destroy you someday.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.